Auburn loses a four-star commitment, but it's still not time to panic.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
What's up? We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, and I'm your host, Charlie Five. Happy Thursday. Even after a decommitment, we're still going to get in here and boog and get after it. Auburn loses a four-star offensive line commitment, but I still don't think it's time to panic. We're going to take a look. We're going to have a little bit of perspective today. Look at where we stand as of now versus last year, and still look at what's on the roadmap in front of us. But before we get started, you know we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with retirement results presented by Active Wealth. You need to check him out. If you want to talk about perspective and you want to talk about having a plan and having a plan for the future, you need to get with Ford Stokes. Check him out at retirementresults.com/plan for your free portfolio analysis to make sure you got a clear roadmap to get where you need to be, to that you got a clear roadmap to get into that top five of recruiting where you need to be, aka where you're going to be when you get to retirement. As far as your wealth, as far as your money, make sure that gap is filled. Ford, your guy for the whole deal. And he's a big Auburn guy. You can make an Auburn friend at the same time. So check him out, retirementresults.com/plan. Tell him I sent you. Tell him War Eagle. Ford Stokes is the man. I'll be seeing Ford Stokes this weekend, so y'all be on the lookout for that. All right, start off with the bad news, okay? Auburn loses four-star commit Cardae Smith, offensive tackle from Mobile, Alabama, already starting to get some projections to USC. I'm not going to sugarcoat this, okay? I'm not going to play the not a big deal game. I'm not going to play the Auburn didn't want him game. I'm not going to play the he was a processed guy gang. Not going to play that. I think Auburn wanted this kid. I think he's a really gifted size-wise. He's really done a lot to his body to be able to kind of be a little bit ready for the next level sooner. And I just don't think this is a kid that Auburn wanted to lose. But USC seems to be reeling right now. They've dropped all the way from a top four class all the way outside, close to the top, almost outside of the top 15. So they've lost two five-star commitments, a couple others that are on the fence, and a few others that may go ahead and decommit as well. And they've had to really start trying to reel in some momentum. And I think it's a little bit of desperation to show Juju Lewis, some stability. They went out and got Shamar Arnaud on Wednesday, who was an Auburn target that they wanted to get. And now you've gotten Cardae Smith to decommit. He has not committed to USC yet, but you've started to see some predictions to USC. He went to USC on an official visit this past weekend. So it wouldn't shock me if in the very near future, you see a commitment to USC. I don't think it's I think USC is a little bit more desperate at this point in time. So what does desperation typically equal? It equals money. So I think there was a little bit of a more incentive from an NIL perspective that Auburn at this point in time just doesn't feel the need that, hey, we don't need to reach. We got some big targets that we're going after. We love to have you. We don't want to lose you, but we're not going to get in a bidding war in June with USC with a class that's probably going to crumble. And there's no telling. You may be able to get Cardae back in the future. Okay. So I want to go ahead and get that out there. I've been accused sometimes of being all sunshine pumping, all positive. I think this is a loss. I do. I think this is a loss. I don't think it's something that can't be replaced. I think Auburn still sits really well with several offensive linemen. I think you, believe it or not, even after you know, Steve Wiltfong, you know, legend Steve Wiltfong, national recruiting analyst for On3, put in a prediction for Andrew Babalola to Stanford. I don't even think Stanford is in the mix anymore. I think it's pretty much Auburn and maybe Michigan. Auburn's pretty much remained the constant all this whole time. So I still think you got a good shot there. So it doesn't necessarily matter so much of who you lose as it is who you can get to replace them. Okay. So Hurts right now drops Auburn back a little bit in the rankings. I think you go from four all the way to number eight on 247. I think you're probably still around that top 10 range on all the other sites. But you do take a little bit of a step back. So you got to build yourself back up. You got to get some more commits on the board to get that ranking up. You know, just for the publicity purposes of it, the hype purposes of it, you got to get some dudes back in the boat. But I want to take a little bit of a look because there's still, okay, so we had a little bit of, you know, you feel like you had a little bit of bad news after the Alvin commitment. You started to see maybe some, you feel like you're sort of losing ground and everybody sort of basically already seems like they're writing it off. You know, the sky's falling. Auburn is being Auburn. You know, we can't really see the future because we're so worried about, you know, this thing imploding, I guess. That seems like to be what the Auburn way is. But let's take a little bit of a snapshot of where we are now versus where we were at this same point last year, okay? In 2024, at this point in time, June 27th, Auburn had 8 total commitments, okay, versus the 15 that we have now, okay? You all funny enough, 3 of those 8 didn't even sign with Auburn. You had, you know, a couple of guys that were sort of mutual parting of ways. I would call these the ones that left out of those 8 probably more so, hey, we just ended up getting some better players. Need to get you guys, go elsewhere, basically. So 8 last year versus 15 this year, recruiting ranking, okay? Last year, we were at this point in time, Auburn was 24th in the recruiting rankings, okay? Versus this year, Auburn is in the top 10 at this point in time, basically across the board on every single site. So now you can argue that maybe at this point last year, you started to have a little bit more positive. You were maybe trending upwards, which I still think in this year we're trending upwards. But you could maybe argue that last year we seemed to be trending upwards towards Big Cat Weekend, which we're going to talk about, versus this year because we had this perceived sort of setback over this past weekend with commits going and visiting elsewhere and some uncommitted prospects that you thought you would go ahead and lock up visiting elsewhere. And now it seems like they may be headed, in a different direction. So I get that. I totally get that. But still, at this point in time last year, you had 8 commits. This year, we have 15. The ranking last year, you were 24th. This year, you're top 10. Okay. So commits after June last year, Auburn signed 10 of the top 15 total ranked commits. So 10 of your 15 highest ranked commits committed after June 27th of last year. Okay. So that last, I think we only had roughly 20 total, a little bit around 20 total high school commits. So half of your class last year, as far as ranking goes, 10 of your top 15, basically over half of those came, you know, after today, just a year ago. So it's not over. There's still a lot of time to go ahead. There's still a ton of time till December. And there's so many things that could happen between now and December to change a lot of the narrative, change a lot of things as far as where kids end up sticking, where kids end up going. You know, there's so many different things. Like, let's talk about those, okay? Number one, coaching changes, okay? there's going to inevitably be some coaching changes. There's going to be, you know, you're going to have a Jimbo Fisher at some point in time. You're going to have a coach possibly retire, a coach possibly moving and taking a bigger position that's going to open up an opportunity for flip. What happens if Lincoln Riley goes 8-5 again or worse at USC? I mean, last year was a pretty pathetic year. You go 8-5 and you have the one of the top picks in the, you know, maybe the, I can't even remember if Caleb Williams was the number one overall pick. You have a top, one of the top, the best quarterback in the draft, and you can't stop anybody, and you lose five games. Okay. What happens if that what if that happens again? What does USC do? You saw USC left freaking Lane Kiffin on the tarmac after seasons very similar. And on top of that, your recruiting is plummeting. So typically, if you can recruit high, you can at least sell, hey, the future, the future, the future. But if your recruiting's in the tank and you can't perform on the field, hey, what happens if USC, what happens if Juju were to say, I'm sticking with USC? What happens if USC implodes this year and he's back up for grabs? So coaching changes happen. Auburn benefited a lot from coaching changes. You know, you got Cam Coleman last year basically because of a coaching change, even though I think there was a pretty good chance you probably flip him regardless. What if coaches are in the Billy Napier had a little on-brand technical difficulties, but maybe it's not necessarily that a coach gets fired. Maybe it's a coaching like purgatory, kind of like Billy Napier, where it's too early to fire him, but they're not really showing signs of success, and there's – like the rumblings that something could happen and just instability in a class. Like there's stuff like that. You saw last year where Florida's class completely imploded. They were all the way up in the top five. You don't put a good product on the field and you see what happens. Now, that could absolutely still happen. That could absolutely happen to Auburn. Like the same thing. If you don't put a good product on the field, that could happen. But another big thing that you got to look out for is, what if Auburn starts off 5-0? What if Auburn starts off lighting up the scoreboard? What if Auburn, with Hugh Freeze running the show, they come out hot and start putting a lot of points on the board? I think that obviously helps the perception. That obviously helps the product that you have to sell. And I'll tell you what else it does. It makes the price go down a little bit. When you can show stability, when you can show that you have a good system, when you can show that there is a roadmap to success, the price tags come down a little bit because kids are willing to, hey, the money's not maybe not be exactly the same, but it's close and I know I can go here and I can blow up. I know they can develop me. I know they can, you know, get me where I need to be. So it brings the price tags down a little bit. Right now, Auburn's sort of having to sell on projections, trying to sell on the future. So if you can actually put something on the field to show that, hey, we're moving in the right direction, that's something else that could sway a lot of kids. Auburn, there was a total of 5 flips last year. We flipped 5 guys last year, and a lot of them came towards, you had some in the summer, and then you had some in the season. So far, we've only flipped 1 this year. So in theory, it's not off the table that you could go out and flip, you know, 4 or 5 more guys that are committed elsewhere. So even a commitment elsewhere from a target is not the end of the day, is not the end of the recruitment, when all these other factors that I just listed could come into play and make Auburn a more attractive situation than it already is. Already in a good spot, but recruiting doesn't stop in June, at the end of June. Recruiting keeps going, and there's so many things that can happen on the road to December that can change, sort of sway the momentum back in Auburn's favor. And I think one thing that's going to get Auburn back going relatively quickly, I think, is the July leading up to the Big Cat weekend. I've been talking about this, and you've sort of seen it. I think there was 4 or 5 commitments in June. I think next week could possibly be a really big week for Auburn in the 2025 class and the 2026 class. And then you have a lot of stuff leading up to the Big Cat weekend in July, when the small 5-6 day period opens. That's going to be closed next year, by the way. So this is going to be the end of, this is going to be the last end of July Big Cat Weekend for the foreseeable future, because the recruit that are going to close that, they're going to close that open period at the end of July. And essentially you're going to have to move Big Cat Weekend to the last weekend in June. That's the way it seems right now. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But still, if next week goes according to plan, and then you continue to sort of build up towards the Big Cat Weekend, and you have a couple of, you know, commitments leading up, there's a chance if you just get guys that you lead for, which I understand, we led for Herbert Scroggins. He commits on Friday, and it's looking like it's probably going to be Miami. Auburn could pull a rabbit out of the hat and get him back in the class on Friday. We'll have to see how that one plays out. But if you get the chalk guys, like you lead for Jacoby Ward, you lead for Blake Woodby, you lead for Anquan Fagans, if all three of those jump in the boat by the end of July, you're going to be right back there in the top five range where you need to be. So that's not even that. That's like zero reach. And if you add Herbert Scroggins, if you somehow pull that one off, you're even higher. Okay. But if you just add Blake Woodby and you just add Anquan Fagans, Jacoby Ward, obviously it would be great too. But if you just add those two, you're right back there in the top five conversation. So you still got a good July on deck. And the 2026 class commits will probably help bolster the momentum for the 2025 class as well. You heard what Zealous Hicks said yesterday. We talked about what he said on the show. There's some guys that I know that are going to commit that you guys don't even know. So you still got July to really reel back the momentum leading into the season. And then it's all on, hey, you got to go out and you got to win games. You got to go out and you got to score touchdowns. You got to go out and you got to stop the other team from scoring touchdowns. You got to put some points on the board. Auburn style points are going to be big for Auburn these first four or five games. You're going to need to run the daggum scoreboard up. I don't care who the opponent is, Alabama, A&M, whoever it is you play the first game of the season. I haven't really memorized, dove into the schedule yet, but the first game of the season, you need to score 60. You need to score 60 on them. You need to throw it all over the place. You need style points are big. Style points are going to be big, in my opinion, these first four games. But if I know that, I know that Hugh Freeze and the staff knows that as well. So I don't think it's going to be a surprise. It's not going to be a surprise to them to know that that's probably what you need to do that first week. So where we are right now is exponentially further ahead of where we were last year. But the opinion last year was, I feel like, better than it was. The opinion at this point in time last year, everybody was a lot more excited than they were at this point this year. When you're at just you're over twice ahead of where you are in recruiting rankings, and you're almost double your commits. And if you count the kids that ended up signing with Auburn, five out of those eight, you're way ahead. You're three times as many commits. Now, obviously, some of the guys we have committed now may end up not signing, so that may be a bad comparison, but you're at least you're close to double the amount of commits at this point in time that you were last year. So again, I get the decommitment. I understand the feelings. Okay. I think there's some warrant to them, but only if you live right now in the moment. If you live in the moment right now, I totally get it. But if you look at where we were, where we've come, I think we're still moving in the right direction. So let's see how this thing plays out. I still think we're in a really good spot with several big time commits. I'm not going to be shocked if Juju comes and visits when that open period times. I wouldn't be shocked if he's here for Big Cat Weekend. So I don't, you know, some people think that's off the table. I don't think it's off the table yet. And when it is off the table, we'll talk about backup plans. Is it going to be KJ Lacy? Is it somebody else? Is there a couple of guys that you're going to look at? We'll talk about that when that comes. Right now, Hugh zeroed in on Juju Lewis as the quarterback for 2025, and I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. You don't really gain a lot. There's not a lot to gain in the dead period by changing up your giving up and moving on. You still got time to sort of chip away, and you got one last shot at it towards the end of July. And I still think Auburn's a pretty good shot. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But guys, I really appreciate it. Hope you have a happy Thursday. Hope you got perspective of where Auburn sits. Get you a little, get you a, some quotes and some things that you can use back at the mega negative fans. You got some info now that you can fire back and say, you know what? Chill out a little bit. Look at where we were last year, and you were probably jumping up and down, fired up, and look at where we are now, and you think the sky's falling. And it's like it's the complete opposite. We're talking about the complete opposite type of classes. So let's just chill a little bit, see what happens. I still, again, dead period, and there's not going to be a lot going on. And hopefully we'll have some commits between now and Big Cat weekend that we can talk about. But other than that, we just need to relax and let it play out. Let it play out. So I really appreciate you listening. Like this video, subscribe to this channel, get in the comments. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you think all that junk, all that stuff is just junk. The sky's falling, and you convince me that it is, and we'll talk about it. Or if you like what we talked about, let me know about it in the comments as well. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5, and we're going to be back again tomorrow, Friday, getting after it. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast, and even though I got a hoodie on today, you still got to stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.